Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Somehow we'll forge ahead without city limits. Sean, don't call me. Seth Meyers has entered the building. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Great. Coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah. Earlier than we thought, right? You're basically Russell Wilson in for Justin Fields right now.
Yes, I guess so.
Good to have you. Good to see you again. And we have Justin Fields talking, and I think being realistic and honest and humble. And I think it sure beats the Kenny Pickett we saw last year when he was benched and said he could learn nothing from watching games from the sidelines. And then when it became clear, and it was already clear to everybody who watches football, that Kenny Pickett should at least have major competition for this job, he didn't like that. And he didn't like hearing that somebody else might have the pole position, which was Russell Wilson. So he begged out of town. Little bit delusional, little bit cocky is how Kenny came off last year. I think you'll find a different Justin Fields here. And we can talk about it after we hear his back and forth with the media this morning as it becomes more and more clear that Russell Wilson is the guy for Sunday. Can we hear the media session?
Justin, is it a little frustrating if you don't start considering how you played the first six games?
I mean, I don't think I've played, you know, good enough, if I'm being real with you. If I'm being real with myself, I think if, you know, I did play well enough, I don't think there would be, you know, any sort of who should be playing, who should not. So at the end of the day, you know, we got a few wins. Of course, I'm glad about that. But, you know, there's areas that, you know, I could be better at. And, you know, I'm just going to, you know, continue to work on those and continue to get better.
I guess there's a full version of this that Bechtel put in a different file, so I can pull that up if you want.
That was Austin sabotaging you on the way out. He likes to leave a little message that nobody will replace him. He's listening in his car right now.
Having a good laugh.
Yeah.
Like a hyena.
Like the Wicked Witch of the North looking into her little crystal ball. Remember that in The Wizard of Oz? He's cackling right now because he left us with a little sabotage.
Well, the good news is I found the 5-minute version, the full press conference.
I'd like to hear that if you don't mind.
All right, let's do it.
Thank you.
At quarterback.
I know that I'm preparing the same.
Have they told you anything about who's going to start?
No.
Is this a week where you've talked a lot about your mentality doesn't change, don't get too high, don't get too low? Is that a week where you kind of lean on that demeanor and that just kind of steadiness while things seem like there's so much in flux?
I think it's a lifestyle. It's not something you do. You don't really choose, you know, when you do it. I think it's just, you know, the way I am and kind of how I operate. So, yeah.
Justin, is it a little frustrating if you don't start considering how you played the first six games?
I mean, I don't think I played, you know, good enough, if I'm being real with you. If I'm being real with myself, I think if, you know, I did play well enough, I don't think there would be, you know, any sort of who should be playing, who should not. So at the end of the day, you know, we got a few wins. Of course, I'm glad about that. But, you know, there's areas that, you know, I could be better at. And, you know, I'm just going to, you know, continue to work on those and continue to get better.
Actually, let's cut it off there, Sean. There's a little bit of background noise. And that, to me, is the key. That's the quote. And there's a big story in that. There's a big story in that quote, and here it is. Because a lot of people are under the impression that Justin Fields always thought he was the backup, and that no matter what happened, pretty much, that Russell Wilson was going to be the guy. We just had a discussion about that with Chris Hoke. What he is revealing there in that quote is that he believed that the job was winnable for him. If he played well enough, it was going to be his job. And that tells me that he was told that. Do you disagree?
No, based on that, I do think that what you're saying makes sense, because he's saying, you know, if we were 6-0 or if I had done more, then I would have made it a decision that there's no way they could go away from me.
Right.
So I think there's some truth to that. But I also think it makes sense for him to say I had a chance to prove myself, as opposed to saying I never had a chance to be the guy, because then that creates headlines that are very negative as well. So I think he's also being a little savvy with the answer.
Explain that to me a little bit more, because if he comes out and says I never had a chance to win the job, or he could have answered in a million different ways. He could have just simply said, I don't really think I played well enough, if I'm being honest with you. He didn't have to add, if I did, I don't think there would be any sort of who should be playing and who shouldn't. To me, that's a headline quote right there, in that he thinks that there was a competition. He thinks he had a chance to unseat Russell Wilson. He's also telling the world right there that Russell Wilson is not the anointed one around here. I had my chance. I don't want to say that he disrespected Wilson there, but he did not acknowledge that Russ is the guy around here. Everybody knows it. I was a placeholder. He didn't indicate any words to that effect at all. He said, essentially, that was my job. If I played well enough, I don't care who was listed on the depth chart. That was mine. I didn't seize the opportunity. You know what I mean? There's a lot there.
He's been praised by, I think, everyone reacted, saying, to your point, that's what you want to hear from a quarterback, not, you know, Kenny Pickett saying I was promised one thing and then something else, you know, out of my control happened. So I like that answer. We'll see how it plays out. I think Fields probably does feel like he might get another chance at some point this season. So I think it was a really good answer. I don't think it would have made a lot of sense if he came out and said, I never really had a chance at this. It was going to be Russ as soon as he got back to full health, even if that was the reality.
No, but he could have left that impression. He could have left that impression absolutely by not adding, I don't think there would be any sort of who should be playing and who should not. In other words, this was in my hands. Russ is not the anointed one around here. I blew it. That's why he's basically said, I blew it. That's why Russ is playing on Sunday. Nobody would say that behind Ben, right? And I'm glad that Fields said this, but it was a sign of, this was in my hands. I'm not the backup around here. You know, if I played better, I'd be the starter right now.
Yeah, and another aspect, because you mentioned Ben, I think the fact that both these guys came in the same offseason, they really could look at it as a full competition, as opposed to if there was an incumbent from a prior year. So I will be curious to see how it plays out, and if he does get another chance, I really do feel like he is confident that he will make the most of his opportunity. I think he's going to be fully engaged, because sometimes at this level, when guys get put on the back burner, they're not fully engaged, even if they're not getting thrown passes frequently enough in the first quarter, they're not fully engaged. Fields seems like a guy who I think will be, his only mindset now is getting better so that he's even more prepared for the next opportunity.
412-928-9370, 928-9370. You want to weigh in on this? It's become clearer and clearer that Russell Wilson's going Sunday night. Justin Fields saying, I didn't play well enough. It's as simple as that. And if I had, he's basically saying there wouldn't be any discussion. If I had played better, there wouldn't be any discussion. That's not how a designated backup would talk about an anointed starter, right? You wouldn't see that if he didn't think he was in a real competition. See, I think Russell believes he is the anointed starter and that there was never really a threat to him, that he was always going to play. I think Fields had a very different impression, that this guy is absolutely not what you would normally think of in 15 different markets in the NFL, of a guy who, if he was hurt or not playing, you're not going to unseat him. Like, you wouldn't hear Mitch Trubisky saying this about Josh Allen in Buffalo, right? I mean, there's tons of markets out there where you would never hear this. Jets, Bills, Ravens, Bengals, Texans, right? even Jacksonville, Kansas City, Chargers, now the Commanders, Cowboys, Eagles, Lions, Packers, Falcons. Most teams, especially the better ones, have clear-cut starters and clear-cut backups. I'm not exactly sure what Mike Tomlin was thinking this whole time. I don't know what Russ was thinking the whole time. I tend to believe that he thinks, yeah, of course, I'm the starter around here. That guy's the backup. And when I'm cleared and fully ready to go, of course I'm getting my job back. And maybe Mike thought that the whole time too. Maybe. But Justin Fields apparently had a very different opinion of the situation. We don't have a clear-cut starter around here. He just told the world that. We do not have a clear-cut starter. In fact, there wouldn't have been any discussion about this if I had played better. That's really interesting to me that that's the impression he was under. 412-928-9370. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Fields would still be the guy, that Tomlin would actually adjust the depth chart if Fields had played better? That's a tough one to decipher. Chris Hoke told us that he believes Russ was always going to play. Was always going to play. I wonder about that. It would have been really tough to sit Fields if they're sitting here at 5-1 and he was great. I thought he was very good against the Chargers and great in the second half against Indy, even though they lost. If that guy came out and played against Dallas and the Raiders, I think I don't believe that Tomlin would have switched quarterbacks. How do you do that if you have a guy playing great and you're 5-1 or 6-0 or something? How could you possibly do that? 5-1, we'll say. I think Tomlin has handled this pretty well. There was no easy way to handle this. It's a very delicate and interesting situation from the quarterback standpoint. And Tomlin was always going to be questioned in the way he handled it, and his words were going to be questioned, and sometimes legitimately, but I think he rode that very delicate line pretty well. To the point where Fields is thinking, man, it's on me. If I had played better, I'd be the guy. And Russ still gets to think I was always the guy. And Tomlin kept him atop the depth chart this whole time. And maybe if Fields is great and they're 5-1, he changes that depth chart. I almost think he would have been forced to at some point. Can it still be true that in the back of his mind, he was also thinking, I've got to see Russell Wilson at some point? Like I mentioned, it's kind of like a game show. It really is. It's kind of like Deal, No Deal. You can go home right now happy with $50,000. That's life-altering money. You know, it's not generationally life-changing money. You can go home happy with the prize that you had, which was Justin Fields looking like they're headed, you know, for 9-8 or thereabouts. Maybe they sneak into the playoffs and lose. Maybe they don't make the playoffs. That's been the way of it for many years now, pretty much. You could have that again, and that's not bad. If you're the coach, that wins you national praise every year. People think it's amazing, the non-losing streak. They ignore the ironies that you have a losing playoff record and that the non-losing streak was born of a losing season because Ben is the guy mostly responsible for it. They just keep praising you to the high heavens because you haven't had a losing season. They ignore the fact that you also haven't won a playoff game in 7 years, going on 8. You get contract extensions for that.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Longer ones than usual. So your boss and everybody in the football world pretty much thinks this is great, these 9-8 seasons where you get hammered in the first round of the playoffs. You could live off that forever, your $50,000 prize from Deal or No Deal. Do you want that though, or do you want to go for $1 million? I think that Tomlin has finally reached the point where he wants to go for $1 million. Because he got the other one anyway. Right? So why not? Really, when you look at this, some may see it as a high-risk move. I see it as a low-risk move. You know you're going to go 8-9 or 9-8 or 10-7. You know you can do that. Why not take a chance on Russell Wilson being really good in this system and giving you more of an explosive passing offense? Maybe you're taking that chance. You're using your lifeline, Sean. Did you like Deal or No Deal? Who was the host?
It's that bald guy, Howie Mandel.
Howie right? Mandel. Tomlin is using his lifeline. Howie Mandel just said to Tomlin, do you want to go 9-8 again? Maybe make the playoffs? Maybe not. Get blown out in the first round? Maybe even get a close game in the first round? Or do you actually want to try and elevate this thing to look like an actual NFL offense that's explosive? Pass plays down the field. Is that even possible with this offensive line and this group of receivers? I don't know that Howie Mandel would have added that, but he said to Tomlin, this is your choice right now, Mike. And by the way, congratulations on the 17-year non-losing streak. You get to go home with this prize, or you can go for $1 million. And Tomlin is going for $1 million. The difference between this and the game show is he's still going to get the $50,000 anyway. So I can't blame him for this move. I've said and written, I probably would have gone with Justin this week anyway at the beginning of the game because I'm fearful for Wilson's life behind this offensive line. But I can certainly see the rationale here. I can absolutely see it.
I think the risk, I know right now everyone's focused on the immediate, but if Wilson comes in and it was just okay, not great, he doesn't get them the $1 million prize.
Yeah.
Do you then look to sign Fields after this season, after you already kind of moved on from him for a guy that turned out to not be great? Then you might be in a situation where you don't have either quarterback for next year and have to start over from scratch.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you know you can go 9-8 then. If Wilson's the same as Fields, like, you know, C-plus type performance, all right, then you lose Wilson maybe after the season and maybe Fields too and you start over. I'm sorry, I look at Justin Fields right now as a guy who can't consistently deliver in the pass game, and it's been a 3.5-4 year sample. I think at times he can be great. He can be a viable quarterback. I'm worried at this point that he's not going to be a star quarterback or a franchise championship guy.
And maybe they've already seen enough to determine that as well.
Maybe. And then, yeah, then you start over. I don't think that's the end of the world either. Plus, do you think Justin Fields has shown enough in these six games where some other team is willing to throw, you know, $20 or $30 million at him a year?
He would probably kind of be in the boat of bring this guy in as a guy who competes for a starting job like a Minshew or a Sam Darnold or someone along those lines.
Yeah, the same situation he was in this year where basically nobody wanted him as a starter. You know? 412-928-9370. Let's hit the phone lines. Who do we have? Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers.
We have Chris calling from Indiana, Pennsylvania.
What's up, man?
Hey, not much, but anyways, I think, you know, all things being equal, Russell Wilson would have been the starter had he not been injured in training camp. That gave Tomlin the window for Fields. And I don't think Fields, I think Fields was referring to that it was an open competition after that point, because now Fields could show himself on center stage.
Yeah.
He did not. He failed. Fail's not the right word. But then come up to expectations. Let's use that. I mean, 4-2. I mean, heck, we'll take that with, under either quarterback. But did not come up to perhaps the expectations that the team had thought. And I do believe the last 2 or 3 weeks that Wilson probably was able to play. So perhaps that was kind of not the competition, but Phil, it's yours. As long as you can keep winning. He faltered, a bit there. And now the window again is open to, you know, bring, you know, Russell Wilson back.
Yeah, he left the window. I like that metaphor. He left the window open a crack. He did. I appreciate the call. And he knows that too. And I'm glad that he was honest about it. The last two games, he's completed, 50-something% of his passes, which you can't do in the NFL anymore and expect to survive for long, for minimal yardage. And he by luck avoided several catastrophic plays. The early interception the guy from the Cowboys dropped. The inaccurate bullet lateral to Jaylen Warren against the Raiders winds up as a fumble. One of six or seven, I think six fumbles that Fields has had this season. And luckily, Warren picks it up, because that's the type of play, behind the line of scrimmage over by the sideline that they can pick up and run for a touchdown. And then the interception at the end of the half that might have gotten him pulled against the Raiders that gets called back on one of those too much body weight landed on the quarterback crap fouls. Maybe called to the letter of the law. I don't know. I haven't figured out the letter of the law on that call. What does most of your body weight mean? And how do you judge whether it's 46% of the guy's body weight or 52.7? Bottom line is, these past two games, the offense didn't play well, and he didn't play well as a passer. He made winning plays in the run game with his legs against the Raiders, and there is something to be said for that, especially behind this, the current form of the Steelers' offensive line. There's a lot to be said for that, and I wouldn't deny it or minimize it. Next.
We will go to Lee calling from downtown Pittsburgh.
Hello, Lee.
Hey, how you guys doing? I think it wouldn't be a question if he had 5 passing touchdowns versus 5 rushing touchdowns. Then they would have been like, okay, we see improvement in the game. We already knew he could run for touchdowns. We need to see passing touchdowns. So I believe that's why we're going with Russell. I think it's the better move. I think he'll bring a veteran presence, and he'll be a common force in the offense. But I still believe if we're going all in, then how come we're not trading for no receiver? Why can't we go get Cooper Kupp? If you're going all in, go all in. I mean, that's my standpoint, and that's the only thing that makes sense. You can trade for him. It could be a rental. Just go all in if you want to be this passing offense.
Man, I agree with that. No, that's a great point. And that's the theme, it seems like, doesn't it, Lee, of this Steelers season, is all in for 1 year. Let's win a playoff game finally. And if that's the theme, then you better not go the rest of the season with, Van Jefferson and Scotty Miller and whoever else. There was one guy who's did he run in out of the stands? Was he the guy that made a catch against the Cowboys? Somebody I've never seen before.
Oh yeah, I think he did come out of the stands.
Did he win a contest at halftime? I don't know who he was.
That's how Malzie got his job.
Oh, I wasn't gonna say that. You just took a shot at Malzie. That did cross my mind. But Malzie is a very good friend of mine, and I wasn't going to take that gratuitous and easy shot at him, which is gratuitous means easy. So I was redundant there. And now I'm honoring Malzie by using a bunch of big words. You ripped Malzie, and you're going to hear about that.
It's okay. We're pals, I think.
Roman Wilson, anybody? I don't know. He got a couple snaps the other day, but didn't look like he was part of anything. Point being, yes, go out and get a receiver yesterday, please. especially if the idea here too, not just the whole 1 year theme, but Russ is going to give us an elevated pass game. Well, why don't you give him one more weapon to help him do that, please? Any day now, Omar. Any day would be nice. Next.
We're going to go out to Long Island with Seth.
I love Long Island. I was born there. I was born in Northport, Long Island, and my grandparents lived in Riverhead and the other set in Commack. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. I love the show, guys. Always a lot of great points. So many points. You know, the thing is that I sit here, I listen to you guys, been a Steeler fan for over 50 years, and I cannot take the way the game, the way they play the game. It's 2024. You hire an offensive coordinator that is, you know, looking to run the ball first. How about a guy like Cliff Kingsbury? How about taking a guy like that, getting a quarterback like Fields and building around him? The Ravens, as much as I hate them, they got Lamar. They built the offense around him, right, to Harbaugh's credit and whoever else was there at the time. It's time. It's time to play football in the modern ages. And at the end of the day, why didn't they get another receiver for Fields?
Well, wait a second. Guy? You're contradicting yourself here. You want them to have an updated passing offense, and the first team you compliment is the Ravens, who have an offense out of 1976, and that's a compliment.
Well, no.
They run it for 40 more yards than anyone else in the league.
That's
per
true.
Game.
That's true, especially this year with King Henry, right? Especially this year with King Henry.
And look at the teams that are at the top in run game. Ravens, playoff position. Packers, playoff position. The Niners are always a good run team. Yeah, they've had a slow start. The Lions are a good run team. The Commanders. See, I think the NFL might be reverting back toward the run a little bit, but you still, your point is, I think, and I agree with you, that you still, on a given day, in a big game, have to have explosion plays in your pass game, right?
Yeah. Yes, that's correct, Joe, and that is my point. But I'm just so tired of watching on the edge of my seat to the end of the game, you know, waiting to see if the cornerback's going to make a play on a horrific Dallas Cowboys team. And, you know, and I have to give you, I give Fields a lot of credit for standing up there and saying he could have played better, because there's no doubt in my mind that if he had played better, this wouldn't even be a decision at this point. So he must feel like he missed a great opportunity. I think he'll be back. But the question is, if he does well or gets us to the promised land and we win a playoff game this year, does he want to come back next year if he gets benched and comes back?
If the risk here, and Sean, don't call me, Seth Myers spoke to this as well. I appreciate the call, sir. If the risk here is, Justin might come back in the lineup and then win a playoff game and price himself out of town, I think I'm willing to live with that. Like, what's the alternative? You weren't going to sign him before this season. You have a rule where you don't sign guys during the season. If you're the Steelers, you hope he's great, and you hope every other team is after him, that he comes back and, you know, becomes an MVP candidate in the second half of the year. That type of thing, a star, that would be the ultimate scenario. And then maybe you have a bidding war. Then maybe you have to pay out to keep him, and maybe he doesn't even want to be here anyway at that point. I don't know. If that's the risk, man, that's a best case scenario to me. That Russell would fail and Justin would come back rejuvenated and become an absolute star and lead you to a playoff win, lead you to the AFC title game. But that feels like a long ways off right now. 412-928-9370. We got a guy from Pro Football Focus at the top of the hour, and there have been some very interesting ratings for Steeler players. But your thoughts on the quarterback situation? Justin Fields clearly believes that this was an open competition where he had a shot to win. He does not believe that Russell Wilson was the anointed guy here and that Fields himself was the backup. He doesn't believe that. He believes if I did play well enough, I don't think there would be any sort of who should be playing and who should not. That was an exact quote. What do you make of it? 928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. JP Roofing and Siding's closing in on 50 years himself, Joe Potocnik. What a man he's become, huh? And what a mustache he has. I've been out at golf tournaments where people don't even want to talk to the man. They engage with the mustache. It's unbelievable, Sean. It truly is. And he has a talking mustache. You didn't know that, did you?
I did not.
It's amazing. What's more amazing is that he's flourished in this market for 43 years, leaving the customer satisfied. They've been out to my house a couple different times, did exactly what they said they would do. And then I didn't worry about the problem anymore. If I could do these things myself, fix roofs, fix siding. I don't even know what siding is, I don't think. Fix a toilet. I would do all that myself. Not that he fixes toilets. This is an overall point I'm trying to make. I want people who come out to the house to work on my house to fix the problem, and then I never think about it again. And that's been my experience with JP Roofing and Siding. $500 off right now, any roofing or siding installation, 412-829-7711, 829-7711.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.